Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindi country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Now, Monash University launches a justice bus to bridge legal access gaps. Monash University has launched a new program that will provide free legal education and support to regional and remote communities across Victoria. Named the Justice Bus, the initial comprises a mobile legal clinic staffed by Monash law students and supervised by experienced legal practitioners that will bring education and support to Victorians who would otherwise face barriers to accessing legal information. And you would say taking the mountain to the people, I would think. And with that, I'm going to catch up again with Social Professor Joel Townsend, Law Experiential Education. On the line, Professor Joel, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Yeah, so the description I'm picking up is taking the mountain to the people, bringing the education, law education, law activities or degrees or, to the people. Good concept.
Yeah, thanks. Look, we think this builds on something which law students at Monash have been doing for a number of years, a program called Street Law, where they go out, talk to high school students about their legal rights and obligations, and we think it helps those school students to understand a bit more about the legal world that they're interacting with. And this past week, we went out to regional Victoria, a number of regional centres, and students did that, provided legal information and legal education to some of our young people in those regional areas.
And are we talking about young students in school, high schools, or in their process of studying law, or an open slather, a platform for people to, well, entice them to get study law? Who are the people you're talking to?
Well, we're talking, our law students are going out and they're talking to high school students.
Okay,
so
thank you.
I was privileged enough to be able to sit in on a session in Bendigo last week where some of our law students were talking to a year 11 legal studies class and talking to them a bit about police powers and a bit about driving and a bit about public transport and giving them some really important information about how they can ensure that they comply with their legal obligations and exercise their legal rights.
So inaugural, first time you've done it. So it's virtually underway or has been delivered. The feedback, how are you looking?
Well, I think it went really well. I mean, our students loved doing it. As you can imagine, for a law student, you spend a lot of your time with your nose in the book, and the more that you get out and about and get to exercise those skills and deploy that knowledge, the better. So our students, our Monash students, loved it, and from what I saw, the engagement from the high school students in this class in Bendigo that I attended was terrific. They were really engaged, and you got the sense that it brought together a bit of information that was relevant to their studies, doing legal studies, and some information which might be really helpful to them in their everyday lives.
Well, you're talking about inspiration. I see that as a tool to inspire people to look at the law industry as such, you know, the legalities overall, and the inspiration is there, talking to somebody face-to-face. I mean, simple engagement, but very powerful, I feel.
I think so. I think it gives students in high school a sense of what the possibilities are. But also we know from lots of research and from our common sense, really, that young people don't always identify when they have a legal problem, and they don't always understand what their legal rights are, and they don't always know what the avenues are to get those rights protected and vindicated. And so the idea of the Justice Bus is it really points those high school students in the right direction, and hopefully that'll head some legal problems off at the pass by providing information and education. Maybe we save on, you know, more complex matters and the need for legal advice and the need for legal representation down the track.
And look, all of us as humans, you know, repetition is a mother of all schools. So when you see a law student delivering or practicing and educating, that in itself creates education for themselves as well, and presenting. And like I said, simple concept, and the first of its kind, this should be well templated across country. If not, this should continue, is what I'm feeling, Professor Joel.
Well, look, we certainly are committed to, you know, continuing to provide those experiential opportunities for our law students, giving them the chance to get out in the world and bridge the gap between law and the books and law in action.
Yes.
And we hope that in this way and others, we can have a real impact on the lives of everyday people in the community and ensure that they understand a little better where they stand in relation to the law.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, enjoy the journey. There's the vehicle, Justice Bus. Thank you very much for sharing, Professor Joel. Big shout out to your law students, and thank you very much. And big shout out to your team there at Monash University, and all the best. And we'll talk soon, my friend.
Appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Adela Yan there, Associate Professor Joel Townsend, Law Experiential Education, and talk about Monash University launches Justice Bus to bridge legal action gaps. A true vehicle in such, the bus going out to different schools, and law students are there passing on knowledge and education about the law industry as such, and also supervised by experienced legal practitioners. So the information gets there, entices the students to look at law as a degree. But also helps the students, the law students, helping their presentation, their legal journey as well in regard to their education. So fantastic. Have you seen Yanif Strong? I do the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yanif, yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, on National Talk Black. Too deadly.
Hey, me you call This land belongs to our people. Means more than a place to hunt and roam. Reserved for the past and present. Cause it's our Aboriginal spiritual home. But you may call it divide and conquer. Hey, but no more. You've lived a lie. I say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Hey, me you call a Pungai, from Yarraba where my people reside. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother?
National Talk Black.
You come cosir bolo mi, yeah. You come cosir bolo mi, yeah. You come cosir bolo mi. This one you prapa bala bolo mi. You come tawi bolo mi, yeah. You come tawi bolo mi, yeah. You come tawi bolo mi. Everyone prapa pamle now. This one island custom, yeah. A proper island custom, yeah. Ecole. You me no more bala NSC now. You me no more wadu ene boy now. You come to we bolo me. You me no more bala NSC now. You me no more wadu ene boy now. You come to we bolo me. MECC bolo me. You bala bolo me. Follow me, and so. You come to we bolo me, yeah. You
come to we follow me, yeah. You come to we follow me. Yumpla everyone prapa pamle now. This one island custom, yeah. A prapa island custom, yeah. Ekole. Now you me no more what do any boy now. You come to we follow me. Ah. You me no more by my NCC now. You me no more what do any boy now. You come to we follow me. Ta we follow me. Ta we follow me. Ta we follow me.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country as BBM Bummerabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you saying Yan Up Strong. All right, making a difference across Queensland. We're talking about a record Good for Good Community Grants Program announced for 2025. Queensland Country Bank has made 2025 look a whole lot brighter for 15 not-for-profit organisations across the state, announcing a record number of recipients for the extraordinary Good for Good Community Grants Program. With that, in case of a yarn now, with Aaron Newman, Queensland Country Bank CEO. Aaron's on the line. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the program this morning.
Lovely. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Hats off to you. Fantastic. Queensland Country Bank announced in 2025. Look for a whole lot better for 15 not-for-profit organisations across there to apply for community grants. How long have you been running these grants for, Aaron?
We've been offering grants to communities in our regional areas for more than 20 years.
Yes, fantastic. And we're talking about anybody can apply to all different industries and whatever they're doing good for the community, yes?
Yes, that's exactly right. We make community grants available to any not-for-profit association that wants to progress an initiative in their local areas. Mm. And the main categories that we look for where we can make a contribution are in the areas of sport and recreation,
yes,
health, education, environment, and our arts, culture, and heritage.
And look, you're a state business-run financial services. So we're talking recipients from Cairns, Yarrabah, Mount Isa, Weeper, Townsville, Charters Towers, Mackay, Eyre, Collinsville, Stanthorpe, Brisbane, all the above. Look, it's fantastic. Yes. Open across the border. How's it work? First and best dress, or regarding the application, what they're working towards? How does it work in regarding the thumbs up for the grant?
Sure. It's certainly not first in best dress. We open the grants program for a period of time to enable any association to organise their application and submit that to us. We've got an internal committee of people who range from directors through to frontline people who all review the applications and reflect on the criteria. And ideally what we're trying to do is provide proportionate amounts of money across the whole state. And to your point, we're a state-based organisation, head office in Townsville in North Queensland, and operate in most regional areas across the state. So
yes,
we're looking to spread the goodwill across the state and across those categories that I mentioned before.
And any application, is there a minimum or maximum what they're applying for, or how does that work in regarding the funds?
We generally look to provide a minimum grant application of $5,000 and a maximum application of $30,000, so
okay,
that at a minimum we're contributing to something that can become a ongoing benefit to the communities that the organisation operates in, and also put a cap on it so that we do have the ability to contribute to quite a number of associations rather than having the money tied up just in one or two.
Fantastic. And successful applicants from last year can reapply? Is that how it works?
Yes, yeah, that's certainly the case, and we have seen over the years that we've had multiple applications from some of the previous grant recipients. Obviously, we want to try and spread that around as well. Mm. So there's a whole range of things to consider when we're looking at this, and it's quite a challenging task. I think we received almost 100 grant applications in this last round, so it is quite a task to distill that down to sort of fit within the budget constraints that we have.
Okay, and how do people apply? They can do it online?
Absolutely. So jumping online to our website, we open up the grant applications in about July each year for a couple of months to enable people to put their applications together. It's a very simple process to follow, and we then go through that assessment process, have the board approve the applicants that we're putting forward and recommending, and then working with those associations to, I suppose, realise the benefits of that investment.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great concept, great idea. So we're here talking on National Talk Black across the nation. This radio program goes. Your webpage, is it promoted that way as well? How do people know when we're ready, or just to remind them that, hey, there's funds here to apply in July? How's that work?
Yeah, sure. So we advertise on social media and also via all of the branches. We have 28 branches across the state, and our local managers are active in and engaging with those local not-for-profit associations to make them aware that we are launching the grant application process. So it's closed now for this current period, and look forward to working with those associations to progress the amazing initiatives that they've all put forward to hopefully really benefit the local communities.
Well, so it's Queensland Country Bank, investing in this space, which is fantastic. You are working with community members and living in the community, working in the community, and let's have activities happening in the community that can help everybody across the board. So I think it's a great concept, great idea. You're doing it for 20 years, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep doing it, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. That's certainly the intention for us, and we've given back about $2.7 million in the time that we've been running the Good for Good Community Grants program. And as a member-owned bank, we are always looking for ways to give back and support the communities that support us, and this is just one of the ways that we do that.
And a nice way too. Thank you very much, Aaron. All the best to your team, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Great. Thanks very much, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye. Later. Adele Yande, Aaron Newman, his name is, Queensland Country Bank CEO. So a record Good for Good Community Grants program announced for 2025. Do check out their webpage, Queensland Country Bank, and they'll be advertising it. Applications open up for around about July. So there it is, but keep in touch and look at ways of helping your organisation, your group, or if you come up with a concept and idea, it's going to help youth or help sporting activities or help the community in any way. Yeah, putting the applications, about throwing the iron in the fire and see if it lights up. There it is, your daily program here, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here at National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. And Yanup with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
Queensland's weather can be unpredictable, and it doesn't plan before it strikes. It won't ask if you have a plan B for kindy pickup, or if your neighbour can check on the dogs. It won't ask if your elderly mum has enough medication, or if your family photos are safe. And it won't ask if your family is ready. Weather doesn't plan, but you can. Search Get Ready Queensland and make your emergency plan online today. Spoken by Jonathan Thurston. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all in. Practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community. You define your greatness. Find support of teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland. Make great happen. RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
le e e e e pote 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 ho hey pote ha 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 e e e e pote 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 ho hey tu gama tribal warrior tu gama
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? Now, First Nation Australians are significant contributors to Australia's economy, but access to finance and capital is limiting their economic empowerment and financial well-being. So a report released on the economic opportunity for First Nations Australians, a very important space, and they our people do provide a lot for the economy. Look, with that, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Senator Jana Stewart, Labor Senator for Victoria and Committee Chair. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about this really important piece of work.
No, thank you very much for coming to the program. So the findings are Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs report on this inquiry to economic self-determination and opportunities for First Nation Australians. The First Nation people haven't been in business. Then you look at employment of black people. Because we talk about black on black. I mean, it's a fantastic vehicle and tool and closing gaps in more ways than one, you would think, yes?
Oh, absolutely. So I think the first thing that I would say is that being in business, being traders and innovators and entrepreneurs is not something that's new to our mob. We've been doing it for over 65,000 years, particularly with our brothers and sisters in the north. So being in business and being black and deadly,
yes,
is not new to us. But what is a challenge is that that part of our story is often not told in terms of our economic strength and what it is that we know. So some of the things that we know based on a report that came out of Melbourne University, the Indigenous business area, is that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses generate $16.1 billion in revenue each year. They pay $4.2 billion in wages, and they employ more than 116,000 people, which is bigger than the town of Toowoomba. So our mob are actually having a huge impact on the economy, but that's not the dominant narrative that exists out there about us. So one of the kind of drivers for me in doing this piece of work with my fellow committee members was really starting to kind of entrench that narrative about out there about us that says that we are innovators, traders and entrepreneurs. We've been doing it for a long time, and even though for a very long time in our own country here, kind of post-colonisation, you know, it was only up until recently, up about 50 years ago, that we were structurally locked out of the economy. So the fact that we've been able to have such a big impact in such a short amount of time is a real testament to our mob and our resilience and our determination to get better outcomes. And you talked about employment. Black businesses are 40 to 100 times more likely to employ mob.
Yes.
Which is a pretty great statistic and not really surprising, I think, for lots of people.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're talking black on black. We're talking about black successes, and we need more black successes in this country, Senator, not only on the football field, you know.
Absolutely. And
here we are, you know. We're entrepreneurs. Yes, we're business people. We just happen to be black.
Oh, absolutely. And the report and the kind of inquiry process kind of really drew out the fact that, you know, we've got lots of our mob that are really smashing it in business, but there are a bunch of things that really make them feel like they're swimming against the current. And they're things like lack of access to finance and capital, really impacting people's ability to be able to grow and keep getting deadlier and deadlier. There were barriers around the kind of intellectual and cultural property rights, not like the laws to kind of protect our cultural knowledge, not really fit for purpose. So if you've got mob wanting to go into business and that business is a part of kind of sharing or celebrating their culture, that's a really tricky thing to do if you don't feel like your kind of cultural property or intellectual property is going to be protected, if you're worried it's going to be stolen somebody else. So we looked at kind of, you know, how it is you might kind of change some of the laws to make sure that our mob feel confident going into business, that their cultural rights and property aren't going to get taken.
And the more successes we have, I was just saying, Senator, then it also pushes out and gets rid of racism, which is an ugly vehicle, but it stops a lot of black people from going into business.
Oh, absolutely, it does. And like we know that lots of the broader community don't see Aboriginal people's success in business because they're, like I said, there are lots of our mob who are really thriving. And there are there's actually just a lot of data too, and you can see some of it in the Melbourne Uni work that talks about, our Aboriginal businesses' financial viability in percentage terms is higher than that of non-Aboriginal businesses.
Yes.
And we've seen that particularly through COVID, so our businesses had a higher survival rate than non-Aboriginal businesses.
Mm.
Which is, like, so I think that statistic's really interesting.
Sure.
When there is this thing that we kind of, we learned about through the inquiry called a trust deficit. So Aboriginal businesses face a real trust deficit. And the reason that that matters, which it sounds like a silly thing, but the reason it matters is because our economy here in Australia and even internationally, we operate in a high trust economy. And if Aboriginal people are not the beneficiaries of that high trust economy, it means that people are kind of making decisions that aren't necessarily going in favour of Aboriginal businesses because they aren't seen as they're seen as too risky, I suppose, is the way to kind of frame it. They're seen as too risky, but actually the stats and the data tell us otherwise. They tell us that they're actually more likely to be a sure bet.
Sure, exactly. Well, we've said that we are wealthy being black. You know,
our
culture and who we are and what have you, and the first peoples, we're sitting on the goal, mate. We're just going to get proactive and, you know, get our skin in the game and jump through the hoops, but also overcome the so-called hurdles, yes?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And there's, there's a couple of areas really that the in terms of what are the things, where are the opportunities currently that exist for mob who might want to be getting into business. And there are really kind of obvious places, like in the transition to a renewable energy future in Australia. You know, it's a big initiative of the Albanese Labor government.
Yes.
There is a huge opportunity for mob to have a seat at the table there.
Mm.
And so one of the things that I asked for in the recommendations of the report was for the government to consider having targets for First Nations ownership.
Yes.
Of those renewable energy projects, not just a benefit share, but I want our mob owning those projects. So they've got income for their communities, for their families, for generations to come. How deadly would that be?
Very deadly. And then also the platform, I was just going to say, Senator, that success breeds success. And then young brothers are seeing that, you can't see what you can't be. And there it is, that creates a platform. More of our black kids are finishing grade 12 because of that vision and then going through university and then becoming business owners. Fantastic.
I couldn't agree more. That, for me, is one of the other reasons that this piece of work is really important. You know, especially off the back of the referendum, it felt like there was lots of real kind of deficit and negative language about us as a mob. You know, we are the kind of worst in health outcomes, we're the worst in housing outcomes, we're the worst in whatever it is, justice outcomes. All of that negative kind of talk about who we are for our young mob, it can be really damaging.
Sure.
And so to have something that celebrates black excellence, that talks about how deadly we are, I mean, $16.2 billion in revenue our mob contribute to the economy every year is pretty damn deadly.
Yes.
And also just, like, you're absolutely right, you know, seeing what's possible for you. You can absolutely be a deadly business person.
Yes.
And there's a great business worth highlighting called Intract Australia, which is a First Nations construction and maintenance company.
Mm-hmm.
It's got more than 100 First Nations staff in 20 offices across Australia.
Yes.
And it generates $22 million in annual revenue.
Beautiful.
How deadly is that?
Goosebumps here, exactly.
Our mob can see that that's possible for them.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful. So, look, good yarning with you. Thank you so very much. It's great to see that. This should be templated across the country, of course.
if I don't mind saying so myself.
Thank you. Yeah? There you go. Steer the ship this way as well. But listen, all the best, Senator. Thank you so very much. We'll keep in touch. And big shout out to your deadly team and your mob there, eh?
Thank you so much, Trendy Trev. And I'll if people want to read some more about the report and its recommendations, you can just check, kind of search me on social media.
Yes.
You can find me on my usual handles at Jana Stewart Vic across kind of pretty much all my platforms, and you can see and read more about the report there. But thank you so much for having me on, and thank you to everybody for tuning in and hearing about some black excellence.
too deadly. And if we need to find you, we'll go to Auntie Google otherwise. But keep smiling and we'll talk soon, darling. Take care.
Thanks. Catch ya.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Senator Jana Stewart, Labor Senator for Victoria and Committee Chair, First Nation, too deadly. And look, talking about the findings, Joint Standing Committee and Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Affairs, and report on its inquiry into economic self-determination and opportunities for First Nation Australians. Too deadly. Leading from the front, we are entrepreneurs, business people, just happen to be black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black? We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly.
Just to survive.